let's bring John Herdman, head coach of the Canadian men's national soccer team. Mr. Herdman, long time no speak. Thanks for doing this.
Happy birthday, big fella.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So you've got your first game in charge of the Canadian men's team under your belt. I know it's just one match, but you've had time with these guys together, time to practice, time to sort of start putting your program in place. And you know, how do you, John, go about doing that as a coach when you've only got these guys for a while, and then, you know, they're off hither and yon, and they're playing for their club teams, and they're maybe in different countries. Do you give them homework, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Can you give these guys homework so that there's a continuation between what you taught them when you had them and, you know, what you, so that you'll be able to pick it up again when they come back before, I guess, the game against, I think, the U.S. Virgin Islands?
Yeah, I think that's always the challenge of international coaching. And I guess that's where, you know, I've built my career over the last 12 years, dealing with that reality. You know, the club coaches get the beauty of every day working with players. But for us, we have to build the systems to link a team, to try and develop them even prior to coming into camp. So, you know, we built an online platform. The players were accessing that online platform, whether that was elements of our tactical approach or an overview of New Zealand. And you know, part of what we do, we track who's watching the videos and who's actually connecting in with our team prior to camps. And the other part's just you know, building the relationships with video conferencing systems. We were able to have Atiba in Turkey, Scott Arfield in Burnley, and Milan in Steaua Bucharest. Or you know, sorry, Red Star. He was over in Serbia. So it was, you know, we had three guys from all around the world on a video conference with myself and Mauro Biello, just, you know, connecting in on the culture and elements of what we wanted to deliver even prior to coming in. So, you know, I think if this was 20 years ago, international coaches had a hell of a job trying to connect their teams. But with technology, we've taken it to a new level.
It's funny you talk about the culture and building that, and you tweeted this a while back, and I found this really, really interesting. Was Messi being asked what's more important, organization or talent in football? And your little subhead to it was basically saying, interesting response to an interesting question. You didn't actually answer. You didn't give your point of view. But, you know, where do you stand on that? Because obviously both would be important, but, you know, it feels like you can't have one without the other. How do you balance the two in your mind?
Well, that's why I didn't answer, because I think it is a balance. I think if you go one way, you're going to get killed off people. But I think when you listen to Messi's quotes in there, when he was asked the question, he actually said tactical excellence. I mean, that's where what he alluded to in his comments. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, they expect at a certain level players just to be allowed to go off and be creative and play, you know, what they see in a game. But I think what I've learned through my career and what I've seen is tactical excellence is, you know, a group of men that are very, very clear about their identity, you know, under pressure. And that's the most important piece. So there is a tactical framework that you have to live by. But within that tactical framework, you work with the individuals. And when you have gifted players, obviously the rope is a little bit looser on that player or that part of the field. So I think in the modern game, it is so tactical now with video analysis and the statistics. You know, coaching's gone to another level, that defensive organization. People can really, really take away your threats. So, you know, tactically, players have to be more astute than they've ever been.
John, you talked about that video conference with Mian, Atiba, and Scott Arfield. Is that your leadership group? You know, are those sort of the three guys you rely on to sort of filter the message through to some of the other players?
I mean, they're part of it. You know, we introduced a horizontal leadership culture within this team environment, something that the group hadn't seen before, where, you know, the young players, the new faces, had just as much influence as the veterans.
Okay.
And that's an off-field culture. There's a millennial generation of people now that they just expect more ownership of their lives and their careers. You know, they're not, this isn't the 80s or the 90s where you walk into a team and, you know, you dare not say anything because the veterans are going to rule the roost. It's different now. It's a different generation. So in flatline and the off-field culture, you know, the young players are able to really bring what they're going to bring to the group at this stage in their career, and the veterans are clear on what they bring, and respect, it goes either way. But on field, you know, it's more of a hierarchical structure, and, you know, while Atiba and Scott weren't there, they pulled out through injuries. You know, Milan was head of the back pack, which, you know, that's the back six defensive group, and their goal is to keep clean sheets. That's what they've got to do, and work together, hold each other accountable. And ultimately, it was Jonathan Nazario that took over the front pack with Scott Arfield not being there, and, you know, again, driving standards, driving accountability. So we have a teams within teams approach. You know, underneath that, we have our units as well. So, you know, we had Sam Piet leading the midfield group. We had Dejan leading the back four, and Tosin leading the front three. And their job is to pull their groups in and units, and again, just identify elements of training or opposition threats that they need to take care of. So, you know, on and off field, we have different ways of doing things, but ultimately, it's about providing these players with as much ownership as you can.
I want to go back to something you mentioned just a minute ago. The idea of video analysis and statistical analysis and where we are now in the sport. And we were talking earlier, we run the gamut on this show, so we were talking about the Houston Astros in baseball and the Boston Celtics in basketball, teams that are progressive and analytical, but the talent, these are still 23-year-old kids who probably don't necessarily have advanced degrees in statistical analysis, and they're trying to make their way. So when it comes to your role and you're trying to convey very, sometimes complicated messages to players who are instinctive, their whole lives they're taught to react. They're not necessarily thinking about thinking. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you bridge that gap and make complicated messages into usable marching orders on the pitch?
I think that's one of the things I think stood out to the players when they came in. We had a lot of marketing / visual tools around the hotel that align back to our identity, and it aligned back to some of the statistical elements of our identity. So I have some very clear thresholds which are steeped in our statistical approach. There's a line that players know across all the four moments of the game: attack and organization, defensive transition, attack and transition. There are statistics that are so simple that the players know they have to live above that line individually or collectively as a unit. So over the years that I've been working, I've worked with some top neuroscientists and psychologists from the All Blacks, etc., who've helped me recognize that you can't have players, you know, thinking about statistics in games. They have to be working implicitly, and it's trying to bring a level of simplicity, which I think we've achieved by just having very clear and simple stats that drive our identity on the field. And, you know, when people are off task and pressure and fatigue is setting in, you know, there are certain trigger words that bring us back to, as we, you know, push a performance forward, these are the things that we're driving, whether it's, you know, a second pass completion and transition. You know, that's a massive part of our statistics, but something so simple that keeps our game moving forward. So a lot of what I've done is coming back to, you know, how does this all relate under pressure, under fatigue, under tough conditions? And if it can't hold up under those conditions, there's no point even talking about it. So that's where I think I've got to in my coaching these days, and I think the players really found it refreshing.
John, listen, we really appreciate you joining us. I could literally talk to you for another hour about this. All the best, and again, it was great to talk to you. And continued success, my friend. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And again, enjoy your birthday, eh?
I will, man. Take care.